Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just three words. Reset for oodos. This is Wretched Radio. You heard
me.
I'm not the sweetest chef. Reset for oodos.
Are we burping or something?
I might be saying that in a language that's spoken on the planet. In
my
never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, I hold from Cedar Publications, Reset for Parents. It's in Dutchmark right here is what you got. It's a book that I got to write a couple of years ago. It's been translated into Dutch. Reset for ouders. Zul help je kinderen Gods weg te gaan.
That's and everyone like, in Dutchland is wondering why the German guy is having a stroke.
So I had a chance to talk about that subject just this weekend at Midway Community Church. I don't know what it's between. I'll be honest with you. I looked at a map. It's Midway, but really there's nothing pretty much anywhere near it. Nevertheless, it's sort of like a corner store in the middle of a block, is what I'm saying. I don't quite get why it was called Midway Community Church. Nevertheless, had a chance to speak at a men's breakfast about the subject of a marriage and parenting. Thankfully, my family wasn't there to correct me. Because I would look like the emperor had no clothes. Because it's one thing to talk about marriage and parenting. It's another thing to live it. Had a delightful time. This was a very unusual men's breakfast. This men's breakfast was so unusual.
How unusual was it?
Two, yeah. Three, four. Several of the men showered, which usually it's none of them on a Saturday morning.
On a Saturday morning?
Several of them actually took the time to get up and get ready for the day. So it was a highly unusual men's breakfast. Thank you to everybody there, Matt, for organizing that. It was a very good time. You better raise up those boys and girls while they're still boys and girls from California. This is not entirely new, but this is just another divine fist shake. I've been trying to figure out why is it that our world is so bent on all of this gender confusion business. Romans 1 helps us a lot because we see a downgrade, just a swirling down the tank into more and more depravity. And it tends to be tied with sexual issues, unbridled sexuality. But the whole gender confusion thing, it seems like we're just trying really, really hard to make as big of a hash of it as we possibly can. And it seems to me it is a divine fist shake. This is our way lately of saying, don't want you reigning, don't want you ruling. Any vestige of God, we want it out of here. California, bill requiring gender-neutral children's areas at stores. California department stores that sell children's products like toys and clothes would be prohibited from segregating them by gender. Now, we saw this at Target, if I recall, a few years ago where they decided with the toy aisle it wasn't going to be boys and girls. I haven't been shopping for toys lately. Joey, I believe you have.
I have. Way too much.
And not for the boys. Hello! Is it segregated with guns and dolls, or is it all just one big hash?
It's segregated by brand and, you know, type of toy. So the dolls are in a certain
Wait, so Barbies
aisle,
the and action Batman figures, are in the same aisle?
No, the action figures are in one aisle, the Barbies are in another, the Legos are in another, the
Got
board
it.
Games.
All right.
So, yeah, there's not boys versus girls, but it's pretty clear what's what by the packaging, because
the toy manufacturers
are not on board.
Well, that's because they know that there tends to be a proclivity for one type of toy over another when it comes to boys and girls, try as they might. The bill would do away with so-called boy aisles and girls aisles. by requiring that children's products be offered in a single gender-neutral section. The world's way of saying, we hate you, God. We don't want your male and female created them you. I changed those pronouns to make it work. I think I was about as successful as pronouncing the title of Reset for Urdus. Pretty much. Because I watched one episode of The Muppets. That's how I understand how people in Scandinavian countries actually speak. A teacher. Please note, what we are seeing in the world is an effort to kick God off of his throne, to do anything they can to undermine his authority. And so as we watch the world tend to unravel, just know that's what's really going on. There's a greater agenda behind it. Now, they wouldn't identify it as such. Some might be bold enough to do so. I was just reading that quote. It was it Julian Huxley who said something like, and I'm paraphrasing because it was really long and rambling, author, philosopher, 20th century, was talking about the existence of God, the reality of God. We would rather come up, and I'm wildly paraphrasing, we would rather submit to a harebrained idea like evolution than to admit that God exists. Again, simplified, but that was clearly the point. We are willing to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Sorry, that was Romans 1, but he basically said the exact same thing. That is what this is about. Wreck families, because God loves families. Genders, blotted out, because God made genders. Marriage, make a hash of it, because marriage is something that is transcendent, and it is big, and it has more meaning than just saying I do and having some tax break benefits. It is something that is a picture of Jesus and the church, and so the world is going to hate it. So anything that you can see in the world that reflects God, which, well, is just about everything but evil, the world will try to unwind it. So let's ask ourselves the question, what's left? What haven't they tried to get their worldview to untangle? Creation and evolution? That one's a goner in the public schools. Here's a story for you. This is from Yahoo. A New York teacher denounced for questioning widely accepted theory. In a letter sent from the Holland Patent Central School District last month, Wisconsin-based nonprofit Freedom From Religion Foundation accused a teacher of questioning the theory of evolution during a lecture. I think the guy's been teaching for like 20 years. The nonprofit, Dan Barker's gang, said those comments were in violation of federal law, which prohibits the teaching of creationism or the idea that a God created the universe. That's against the law to suggest other theories? I guess
so. Is that new? Because I don't remember that.
Can't even bring it up. Quote, a biologist teaching telling students that evolution can cause minor... this is just absolutely staggering. This is the parent who sicked the Freedom From Religion Foundation on this poor teacher. Quote, a biology teacher telling students that evolution can cause only minor changes within a species and cannot cause one species to gradually become a different species over the course of thousands of years is the... We don't have any proof of that, parent. Not one example of a bird becoming a dinosaur or vice versa. Oh, I know you've got pictures and you've made some wild assumptions. You don't see a half bird, half dinosaur. You don't see these things. There's no transitionary fossils, which Charles Darwin himself said, if in the years to come you can't find them, my theory, toss it. I'm paraphrasing again, but that's basically what he said. Well, it's been 150 years.
Give or take.
No, not one. You should see gazillions of them. We have this tendency when we talk about evolution, they talk about the tree. You know, just this one organism, and then it kind of became this organism, then it kind of became this organism, and then lo and behold, it's a big tree, and now we've got everything. That's nonsense. You need those evolutionary trees for every species, for millions of different organisms. Not just one. It's just nonsense. Nevertheless, to do so, to teach that, is the equivalent of a math teacher telling students that it's possible to add 2 plus 3, but it's impossible to multiply 987 by 6,789. Okay, wow. Category shift. So in other words, evolution can do little simple things, but it can't do the big thing. So the idea is add lots of time, and these things can then happen. Here's the little problem. You see, time doesn't have any power or intelligence. It doesn't reside anyplace. It just is the marking of the passing of events. If a math teacher taught his students that multiplication were an impossibility, there would be no question. People wouldn't say that he was entitled to his that he was entitled to his opinion. You mean you can't have an opinion anymore? And the answer to that question is, that's correct. We don't want you to have an opinion about any of these subjects. Life, gender, marriage, creation, evolution, you name it. They don't want it. So, all that to say, you might want to reset for orders as quickly as you can. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. If you haven't yet, you might want to check out the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. You will find, and we waited, a metric ton of great goodies at wretched.org, like complete full-length radio and TV episodes, our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources, things like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and our newest resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God, all at the Wretched store. And of course, the Wretched Library. That's where we have hand-picked videos for you on a bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology, from marriage to evangelizing. Check out all things wretched at wretched.org. And while you're there, you might want to stop by the donate page, cleverly hidden at wretched.org/donate, and consider becoming a gospel partner, because we can't do this without you. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What are you doing April 8th? I know you're getting as many copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You are going out to the streets to a university campus, joining many wretches to give away a gospel booklet that demonstrates Jesus is God, co-authored with this man, Phil Johnson. Say hi, Phil Johnson.
Hi, Phil Johnson.
He's better in writing. Get your copies of The Man Who Split Time and give it away to as many people as you can on April 8th.
So join us for the Easter Invasion, April the 8th. To get your copies of Wretched's newest evangelical resource today, go to wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. And join your fellow wretches April the 8th at any public university or college campus for the Easter Invasion. Let's invade these campuses and share the gospel by handing out The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copies today at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. themissionball.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206. Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of books hot off the press, that's the sound of a book. Huh.
Hitting your microphone.
Right.
Stop it.
Just a reminder, to do radio does not require skills. This is, that was obvious, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. Hot off the press, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Thousands of these already going out the door. People on April 8th. Like you, going to university campuses to distribute copies of the gospel. It's right before Easter. Ideal time for you to dip your toe into the evangelistic pool and evangelize. All you need to do are get copies of this little booklet right here. Here, Joey. Happy? I'm just fanning it now.
Well, now I can't hear it.
Let me try again.
That's like a nice compromise.
Radio professional. Wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. Get The Man Who Split Time. And just go to a campus and give them away. Some people have been asking, what about community colleges? Can you do it there? And the answer is yes. Somebody said they went once to a community college and they were told, you can't do that here. Yeah, that's right. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you that at a lot of different schools. The reality is it's a public facility. You is the public. That means you can be there exercising your First Amendment right. Simple as that. You cannot obstruct traffic. You cannot make such a ruckus the kids can't learn inside of the classrooms. Short of that, you can distribute literature and talk to kids as much as you want. Should the police confront you, you simply say, "Officer, I am so grateful for you. Unlike so many people in our country, we respect you, we honor you, we want to be good citizens. But as a citizen, may I ask, what law am I breaking?" And here's what they're likely to say. Well, the university has a policy. I'm sure they do. But I suspect that for you to put me in cuffs or write me a ticket, I need to be breaking a law. Could you please tell me what law I'm breaking? And they might resort to, well, the university asked me to ask you to skedaddle. Well, I sure do appreciate that, sir, and you're doing a fine job, but what law am I breaking? Because, you see, if you're detaining me without legal reason, that, I happen to know, is against the law. All of this should be done honorably and respectfully. You'll have to make the call when you want to make a decision. I think the rule that we would like to follow is our testimony is more important than making it a rights issue. I usually, in talking with these folks, they are reasonable, they are decent people, they're not jerks, they're doing their job, they're not looking for a hassle. So we want to work with them, and our testimony is way more important. So any conversations that you might have with the law, make sure that they don't go home and tell their spouses, "Wow, those jerk Christians." We definitely don't want that. April 8th, it's the big giveaway day. It's right before Easter. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Tony, pick a number between 1 and 22. 1 and 22, sir.
22.
Oh,
Kevin Fiala's
come on.
Number. It's Kevin Fiala's number. He's playing very well for the Wild, so.
I don't know what you're talking about. I actually
no one
think
does.
If I'm no, you can't do 22 because that ties into the gospel presentation. Can't do that. So pick a number between 1
and
21.
Yeah, you sure wouldn't want the gospel getting all over the radio. 18.
All right, 22 it is.
No,
Sparty
18
Bridges.
No.
No,
I don't want 22. I'm not, la, 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 18.
All 18? Right, 18 it is. How's about, should we do 20 just to split the difference? That would be like
sure.
A compromise right there.
Great.
Number 18, the Bible equates Jesus with God. If any passages in the New Testament quote Old Testament verses using the term Yahweh and apply those texts to Christ, that would conclusively demonstrate that Jesus is Yahweh. Are there any such verses? Yeah, Psalm 23, Yahweh is my shepherd. Jesus applied that verse to himself when he said, I am the good shepherd. John the Baptist called Jesus Yahweh when he used Isaiah 43 to describe Jesus. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. So he was making straight the way for Yahweh. He was the forerunner for God. That's Jesus. There are many more clear references in the Old Testament that identify Jesus as Jehovah. In other words, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, Acts 2, 21, 3, 14 and 15. There's a bunch more, but it's a short booklet, so you got to cut. The inspired Jewish book that was written centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ is relentless and emphatic. The Messiah will be Jehovah. Another proof that Jesus is God. Don't forget, this is why we don't unhitch that Old Testament. What a ridiculous comment. You unhitch the Old Testament, and you unhitch a lot of Jesus' claims and credibility in connection with divinity. Because that's what he did. It's anybody can get up and say that they're God, but to show, see that whole system back there, that whole book that was talking about me, pointing to me. It gives it credibility. Let's just unhitch it, because we wouldn't want the unbelievers to have to wrestle with some difficult verses like why we eat shellfish. Yeah, that's a good reason to put it on the shelf. All right, Tony, just for you, chapter 20. And then we will put this long plug for The Man Who Split Time, available at wretched.org/time away. Jesus is called the creator and sustainer of all things. Jesus is the one who created everything that was ever created. This was your John 1:3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus cannot be a created being. If he created everything, he himself could not be created. Besides, who do you know who can create anything besides God? I'm not talking about taking some paint and a canvas and then creating a painting. All those elements already existed. The stuff was already here. Who can speak things into existence out of nothing? God. Who claims to have done that? Jesus. Colossians 1:16 says, ditto, in more detail, ruling out the possibility that Jesus could be a creature of any kind, including an archangel. Quote, for by him, that would be Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, Colossians 1, takes it a step further, pictures Jesus not only as the creator, but the sustainer. Actually, it would be creator and sustainer. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And please don't forget, when Jesus was walking this planet, he was still doing that. Jesus, the man, he set aside his rights of divinity, if you will. He was still operating the universe, still sustaining the entire planet. Everything was operating under his control, and yet fully human. It is the mystery of the incarnation. Explainable, it's somewhat mysterious because I can't fully get my brain around it. Nevertheless, fully God, fully man. That little baby in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, keeping the universe running. Two natures, one being, one person, Jesus Christ. The natures never mixed nor mingled to a jingle bell beat or otherwise, always fully operating. He was not a Superman. He was not a demigod. He is the God-man, Jesus Christ. The planet you are standing on, concludes Proof 20, the air you are breathing and the body you inhabit all belong to Jesus Christ. Everything that exists belongs to him because he is the creator and sustainer of all things. There you have it. That from The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, by one Pahil Johnson and Todd Friel. By the way, the Shepherd's Conference finished. I haven't had the opportunity to hear Phil's sermon there. I'm certain it was a knockout. I heard Mike Riccardi blasted it again, too. If you're not familiar with that whippersnapper, there's somebody you need to introduce yourself to. Mike Riccardi, R-I-C-C-A-R-D-I. His preaching. Ooh, baby, it is the bomb diggity. April 8th, please consider handing out the gospel while you can, because there may come a day when you can't. All the signs, they are there. For instance, Spokane passes ordinance to hush anti-abortion activists praying outside of Planned Parenthood. Spokane, 6-1 vote, passed a noise ordinance that allows police officers to cite anti-abortion activists singing and praying outside of Planned Parenthood. Noise violations. Councilwoman Karen Stratton said, "All we're asking is that you keep the noise down to a reasonable level."
Which we will determine as the situation dictates.
They bring a sound meter out there, I'm sure. Another councilwoman said the motion has nothing to do with religion or freedom of speech. No, it's about health care and access to the clinic. I'm sure that's all it's about. Please, whilst we can, let's share the gospel like a nobody's business. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. It is a sad time to be a Minnesotan. Minnesota Democrats introducing legislation that could criminalize anyone who would engage in nonviolent protest or pro-life counseling outside an abortion center. Legislation would set a punishment of a gross misdemeanor for anyone who would call a reproductive health services facility to disrupt the normal functioning of that facility. It is already, of course, illegal to physically stop people from entering the facility. This legislation would take that further by including nonviolent speech, which would include calling an abortion facility or providing counseling. Christian and pro-life groups often gather about abortion centers to pray and provide love and support to those who might be pressured to get an abortion. Not anymore with this law. Another implication is that operations like Project Veritas would come into legal problems if they use a phone to get information from a clinic. The proposed bill says nothing in this section shall be used to impair any constitutionally protected activity or activity protected by law. The bill will likely set off an expensive court battle when a clinic claims that using a cell phone to document a conversation can be seen as intentionally disrupting the normal function of an abortion center. Praying that bill never gets out of committee. From state to city, the St. Paul City Council has adopted a controversial resolution declaring March 10th as Abortion Providers Appreciation Day and celebrating the courage and dedication of abortion doctors. The resolution passed 7-0. The resolution passed the same week, oddly, the Supreme Court heard a major abortion case that pro-aborts fear will lead to the dismantling of Roe v. Wade. The resolution memorializes abortion doctor David Gunn, who was shot and killed on March 10th of 1993, and to show appreciation for the high-quality care that abortion providers and clinic staff provide, and to celebrate their courage, compassion, and dedication to their work. Their work is killing babies. State Senator Paul Gazelka, a Republican and the Senate Majority Leader, criticized the council for the resolution, saying, "I believe we should protect human life from conception to natural death. Why would the St. Paul City Council choose to celebrate abortion? Some may think it's a necessary evil, but to celebrate abortion is bizarre." It is very. Lord have mercy. From state to big city to small town, Marshall, Minnesota could face a federal lawsuit after placing an LGBT pride flag in the cafeteria and refusing to hang other flags offered by students. The controversy over the rainbow-colored flag at Marshall Middle School led to a packed school board meeting last week. The Thomas More Society is considering a lawsuit. The flag was hung in the middle school cafeteria this winter, alongside a U.S. flag and international flags. An eighth-grade student told the school board that a teacher removed flags from lockers that represented other viewpoints. One removed flag representing traditional marriage. Thomas More Society is urging the school district to endorse a viewpoint-neutral policy on flags. Oh, Minnesota. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Vercennis.
Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, he will forgive you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, healthcare professionals sure seem to be lacking a sense of humor. This is Wretched Radio. So there I am, sitting in the drugstore health clinic, because they have those now. The minute clinic? That's the one right there. I knew it had something to do with a time measurement or something.
Wait, now I have to go to school to go to my drugstore?
It wasn't a minute. I'll tell you that much right now. It was more like 37, but who's counting? Who?
Have you been to a regular doctor's office?
Yeah, I have.
Remember your 8 o'clock appointment where they showed up about 9?
I know it. But hey, we're grateful. Nevertheless, the lady that I saw to deal with this thing that I've got dwelling behind my nose, Todd, that would be your brain. Oh, I had more dwelling back there. Gave me something called amoxicillin. Nevertheless, I'm sitting in the office and going through the symptoms that I've had for the last week. And so she's asking all kinds of questions. So have you had the shakes? Oh, yeah. Trembles? Mm-hmm. Aches? Definitely. Headache? Yeah, you got it. Vomiting? Nope, didn't have that. No, the cough? Uh-huh, had that. And then she said, have you been traveling anywhere? And I said, well, within the last couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I've been to Hong Kong a couple of times. She turned as white as a sheet. And I immediately said, oh, Hong Kong. Wait, sorry, my bad. Tennessee. I meant to say Tennessee, where I've been a couple of times. She didn't laugh. She didn't think it was funny at all. I don't know what's the matter with these healthcare professionals. Not thinking coronavirus jokes are something to laugh about. And speaking of the coronavirus and something to not laugh about, how's about all of the people that are making prophecies or statements about coronavirus? You know what segments of evangelicalism, if we can use that title, that this is coming from. I have in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers several different statements from different pastors about coronavirus. This is from Fox News. This is the headline, just a reminder. I don't know how this is working out with Fox News and Bethel Church in Redding, California, but there is some sort of a connection going on here. I don't know what it is, but Fox News on a regular basis, and I'm talking multiple times a week, you will see articles like this. Christian pastor Sean Boltz, that's the headline. Quote, Lord showed me the end of the coronavirus. So this is now being delivered as a headline with no blushing. Do you realize, like 20 years ago? Wait a second. You got some preacher that's talking about when the coronavirus is going to end? Crackpot! Ding dong! False prophet! Nope. Headline at Fox News. He declared, the tide is turning now. We're going to see it come to an end. The pastor boldly predicted, it's not going to be the pandemic that people are afraid of. Well, there's a bold prophecy right there. So I don't know what the standard is. I don't know anything about specificity because there isn't any. This is just more nonsense out of this wonky Bethel prophetic movement, which is just absolutely being embraced by the world. And Fox News, of all news outlets. Quote, I do believe it's the answer to prayer with people of every type, Catholics and Christians. We can't afford a moment of darkness in history. God has a plan. Well, what kind of gobbled? This is a prophecy? This is what passes for prophetic these days? I guess it does. During the event, Boltz prophesied to several people. including one person who recently finished treatment for cancer. Uh-oh. Calling out details like names, children, and profession, he told him the cancer would not come back and that he would live a long life and see his kids grow up. Bolts also said a number of significant miracles happened. We just don't have any of them actually happening. However, there is a healing revival going on right outside of Atlanta. It's up near the Georgia Mountains, right at the foothills. I want to say Dahlonega or Dawsonville. I always get the two confused. Nevertheless, this revival supposedly has been going on for weeks. Just last night, I think it was, although I'm still medicated, so might be a little fuzzy on dates and times. A woman came to the revival because it's been going on now for a long time. She still didn't have her arm. She gets into the baptismal pool because that's their trick there. You get baptized for healing. And by the way, you don't have to get baptized to get healed. You can actually sit in for somebody and get baptized. That's right. So baptism has become a total mockery, sham, and device for people to keep their supposed healing revival going on at this particular outbreak. The people get into the pool on behalf of somebody, and they get baptized so that somebody else who can't actually be there can get healed. That's right, at a healing revival. The guest speaker, by the way, was Michael Brown. Nevertheless, woman showed up, didn't have her arm connected to her body because she had somehow in her life lost her arm. She had already been to the healing revival. It didn't grow back. She was back to the healing revival again. However, a kid with ADHD, he was healed on the spot. See the difference there? Shenanigan, nonsense, smoke and mirrors, making claims that are impossible to verify. And yet, the organic healing doesn't happen. That's the difference. Genuine organic healings. That is what Jesus did. I started reading through the Gospel of Matthew or Mark again. It's such a great read, and the word immediately is used. Just, it's constant. I challenge you, if you want a way to maybe get engaged with your daily Bible reading, go through the Gospel of Mark and start underlining immediately. He got up and went to. Immediately, I'm second chapter of Mark. I'll bet the word immediately has been used 12 or 15 times. Just bang, bang, bang. People bringing the sick, sun up till sundown. He's healing, he's healing, he's healing, he's healing. Not ADHD, but he's healing people with organic illnesses, people who are being carried to him, people who are dying, people who died. Those are genuine, verifiable organic healings. What you see at this shenanigan outside of Atlanta, it is just that. And by the way, that particular revival meeting, they also had the Bible with tractor oil at it. This hokey Bible that supposedly had anointed oil. Well, it turns out that the guy who runs the ministry with the anointed Bible was buying the tractor oil at the local implement store. And yet, we're still using that anointed oil. Absolutely criminal behavior. Sean Bolts, headlines in Fox News. During the event, he prophesied for several people, and he told them, you're going to be healthy. You're going to be just fine. What happens when they don't? Where's the follow-up? Where's the care? Where's the thought, well, what if somebody decides to not take their medication anymore for healing? Honestly. Here's another one. This fellow happens to be from New Zealand. Tithe-paying Christians are protected from coronavirus by Psalm 91. Now, there's a bit of irony in this because Jesus actually quoted Psalm 91 when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness. Nevertheless, this is a mega church in New Zealand. Speaking to his congregation, the pastor said, God allows epidemics, pestilence, and famine when people have departed from faith in him. But for Bible-believing, born-again Christians who pay their tithes, that's the key, God assures them protection from the virus in Psalm 91. Who knew such a thing? You don't think this is dangerous? You don't think that this might lead to some problems and some heartbreak and some people wondering, how come I'm a Christian, I got coronavirus, I must not be a Christian or something? Or how's about this guy is a biblical hack? honestly. From Newsweek. Pastor says God will protect the U.S. from coronavirus because the Trump administration sided with life in the womb. Well, Joey, this was in Omaha, Nebraska. You were just there.
Oh, yeah. Lovely town.
Was this posted at the zoo?
That's where you went, was the zoo in Omaha, right?
Yes.
Maybe should have visited this church. Here's the prophecy. Here, listen to this whopper. Listen to the words that I speak to you at this moment, says the living God. Why do you fear, United States? For I have spoken to you. This guy is literally speaking on behalf of God. For I have spoken to you before, and I will speak to you again. I've extended and opened a window of mercy to this nation at this time. Therefore, the virus that they speak of, the bright prognostication, the diagnosis, the fear, my mercy is the quarantine that shall be greater, and that they have spoken to you, United States. Huh? And because of the administration that stands in this land, who honor me, who honor the covenants of your fathers and the Constitution. And because they have aligned themselves with Israel, and because they have sided on the right side of life in the womb, there I give life to this nation, and I give mercy. Do not fear. The virus is the spirit of God. In the meantime, a guest of Jim Baker on his program said, hey, we've got an essential oil to take care of the coronavirus. And the charlatan show continues. This is Wretched Radio. Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
You are the peanut butter to our jelly, the shampoo to our conditioner, the butter to our popcorn. You are Wretched monthly gospel partners, and without you, there is no Wretched. So if you are already a gospel partner, we are so extremely grateful for you and your faithfulness. Every dollar you give goes directly into supporting Wretched and sharing the gospel with thousands. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one today? Visit wretched.org/donate. See, while our TV and radio programs are available to everyone, we need the support from our gospel partners to produce everything we produce. The more you're able to give, the more we are able to give away. So if you would consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner, go to wretched.org/donate today. That's wretched.org/donate.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called
our sanctuary. Through Christ, we find refuge from God's justice and find a safe haven where we can enter into the presence of the Holy God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are living in a post-Christian world, and the statistics show it. This is Wretched Radio as we watch the world living without Christ, living without being guided by biblical principles. You're bound to see a continual devolving of all things that are good, lovely, worthy of praise. Emotions will get increasingly wonky. Wills will become increasingly obstinate. Thinking will become increasingly twisted and confused. Logic and reason, you ain't seen nothing yet. It will do nothing but devolve from here. Case in point, the curious case of America's suicide crisis. Citing more statistics again, and another article that simply does not have an explanation for why we are seeing this. By the way, I don't know if I shared this with you, gentlemen. New Zealand is the number one country for suicide deaths among young men. New Zealand, that gorgeous country. In fact, I was talking with Perry Atkinson at Dove TV and Radio. He is a dear brother, I'm telling you. I had a chance to see him at the NRB convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And he was talking about New Zealand. And he said, when you visit New Zealand, you'll want to throw rocks at Hawaii. It's that gorgeous there. So why, surrounded by aesthetic beauty, would young men be taking their lives at number one rate around the globe? So clearly, it can't be things like where you live. It has got to be more about worldview. A statistic I found interesting in I think it was Auckland. Forgive me, NZ, if I got this wrong. In Auckland, the average salary, the average income is $50,000. The average house price, $1 million. In other words, if you are making an average salary, you ain't going to be buying yourself a first house anytime soon. $1 million? Woo! Must be a good view there in Auckland. Nevertheless, the suicide epidemic, it's around the globe. I think this is because we are seeing post-Christianity. You see this, incidentally, when you visit a country that is not Christianized in any way, shape, or form, or at least not much, where there aren't many believers that are pervading the society. You can see it in the look, the expressions on people's faces. I'm telling you, you can see it. They have no joy. There is no light. There is no hope. There is little laughter. Visit a country without Christ, and it is a pretty good bet, not that you would because you're a Christian, it's a pretty good bet that you'll go to a restaurant and you're going to notice it's very, very quiet here. People aren't laughing and ha-ha-ing. They're not having a good, they're just eating quietly. And we see this all over the globe. Might I sneak in one more reason to be supporting Bible League International? They bring the Bible to places, I'm telling you, most people don't even think about visiting to bring the word to these nations. Bible League International, efficiently bringing Bibles to believers who share. It turns out that these people who get saved in these countries that are rather forlorn biblically, they love sharing the gospel. And Christianity is growing. Jesus is building his church. If you haven't supported Bible League International, I encourage you to do so. Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible. It's $5 a Bible. You'll be bringing some joy to a believer. Let me tell you something. They could use some joy in a lot of countries. In the meantime, the curious case of America's suicide crisis. 50,000 suicide deaths in 2018 alone. This is from Dr. Jonathan Singer, president of the American Association of Suicidology. All right. Here is the president of the American Association of suicidology. This man's going to have some answers for us. I'll just tell you that much right now. Quote, we don't have a good answer. Well, scratch that. I guess he doesn't have a good answer on.
That's not a great way to start a paper.
No, it's not. Or to run an association that's designed and built to help people who have suicidal ideations. They don't have any idea. They can't figure it out. Might we have anything to say about the subject? Yeah. There were some people, not a lot, but there were some people. When I was at the Teach Them Diligently convention in Nashville, Tennessee, had a lovely time there. That asked the, because I spoke about the subject of suicide three times. Cheery subject. And some people said, kind of curious why this subject. And I get that to a degree. But my answer was, the church is really, we are the ones who should be the loudest voice in this conversation, shouldn't we? We have something to say about this. We can offer a diagnosis, a prognosis. We can even offer, hey, here's the help rate. Here's the cure rate on this subject. We've got something to say. The president of the American Suicidology Association. Nothing. The Bible does. We need to be talking about this subject. Furthermore, I would tell, look, there are homeschool families that struggle with these issues. Nobody is immune to this. The messages that the kids are receiving through their cell phones, absolutely relentless. Was reading an article, I can't recall what it was, and they were talking about how parents... Oh, I know. It was a post at a face somebody at Facebook. This guy is a principal or an assistant principal for a number of years. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the school, but it's kind of a Facebook post that got caught, you know, it caught fire, and then it's getting posted everywhere. And he was basically lecturing parents. This it had no Christianity involved in it. I don't know if the guy was a believer or not, but he was saying, I have to look at the kids' cell phones during the course of interrogation. He said, I'm increasingly shocked. It used to be bad. Now it's terrible, and it's getting worse. The images that are on little kids' cell phones, what they're being exposed to. And it was a screed against parents who are detached. Don't give them this device, and then let them go into their bedroom for hours all alone. So he has to sometimes call up the parents, and he'll say, how often are you checking their cell phones? And you know what the parental response is? They're indignant. How dare you? How dare you look at my kid's phone? How dare you question? Well, do you ever check it? No, but that's not the point. How dare you? And he's responding and saying, Mom and Dad, you better be looking. And he said, they don't have rights, privacy rights. They're in your home. It's your job to protect them. You make sure they're not getting garbage put into their noggins because it is not leading to a happy place. It can't. When an 8-year-old is getting exposed to pornography... When they're sending sexties, is that what they call sex? Yeah, sexts or whatever they are. Sex. Pictures of themselves?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? This is going to be good for a flourishing for a child. This is not going to affect their brain in any way, shape, or form. Mom and Dad, I echo his sentiments. I know we live in a world where it's my phone. No, it's not. And it's not your bedroom. And it's not your bed. And those are not your shoes. Mom and Dad own the whole show. And we love you, and we provide for you, and we are charged to protect you. And if we cannot have full access to your cell phone, you ain't going to have one because we love you too much. Is that easy? Nope. Don't envy your position at all. Causes of death in America. This is from the Centers for Disease Control. Frio, this is a cheery one. 2017, the last year available. Number 59 rather. Accidental discharge of firearms. 486 people died. 58, killing by law enforcement officers. 57, childbirth and pregnancy. 55, accidental drowning. 52, complications of medical or surgical care. 51, homicide not related to guns. Yikes. That's a lot. Healthcare providers blame 4,968 deaths on assaults that did not involve firearms. Now, wait a second. I'm going back to number 59. 486 people from firearms versus 4,968 deaths. Not with firearms. you do with that as you see fit. 47, HIV. 45, suicide by poisoning. 6,500 people a year. Obesity, 43. Skin cancer, 41. 23, alcohol, liver disease. Number 21, suicide by gunshot. That's 23,854 people killing themselves with a gun. High blood pressure comes in at 16. Breast cancer, number 12. Pneumonia and influenza, number 8. Doesn't include the coronavirus, just regular old flu right there. Accidental poisoning, 7. Diabetes, 6. Alzheimer's, 5. Lung cancer, 4. Stroke, other diseases with the heart, 3. Chronic lower respiratory diseases, 2. And number 1, congratulations, heart disease. 150,000 people dying every single day. A lot more these days by suicide. We've got something to say. Please do not withhold life-giving information. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.